Today we're going to talk about arguing and how to prevent it in your house. Arguing, as you probably know, is a really unpleasant activity. We don't like people who are argumentative, so we don't really want to raise children who are that way, because then we'll be living with argumentative people for at least 20 years. Now, how do we stop a child from being argumentative? Because, you know, this is a bit of an inborn trait, the tendency to like to argue, or the tendency to be strong-willed or highly opinionated, is an inborn, genetically inherited trait. However, people even who don't have that genetic tendency, they can also learn to argue just by being in an environment that encourages debate and argument. So all of us parents have to deal with the arguing factor, even if there aren't excessive genetic tendencies. But when there are genetic tendencies, we're going to have to really deal with it if we want to have some peace of mind in living at home. Let's explain what arguing is. A child asks a simple question. Can I please have a candy? Or, can I please stay up just a little bit later tonight? Simple enough. And the parent has to give an answer, yes or no. Arguments only occur when the parent says no. Obviously, if the parent says yes, do whatever you want, have whatever you want, the world is yours, then that's the end of the conversation and the child is happy. It's when the parent says no that the fun begins. Because if the child doesn't like the parent's answer, the child will usually, again depending on his or her nature, persevere. There are some very mild, timid little creatures who will just, at the end of the first round of discussion, say, oh, okay, and then walk off. But they are in the minority of children. Most children will give it a good round two. Oh, please, please, could I just stay up? Please, could I have the candy? And the parent has to answer again. I don't call these kinds of conversations arguments unless they get to round three. At round three, it begins to get a little tiresome for the parent, and it begins to feel unpleasant. If a child ends up going to round four, five, six, seven, it's more than a little unpleasant. It's highly irritating. If we allow our kids to argue, we're allowing them to practice a particular neural pathway in their brains, which is called obnoxious. They could grow up to be permanent debaters and arguers who drive their spouses and children crazy. You don't want to let this behavior go, because it's one that will not bring them long-term happiness in relationships. It's one that can actually harm their future relationships. You don't want to let a child repeat and practice any behavior which you find to be obnoxious, because other people will find it to be obnoxious too. After all, if you're the parent and you love this child better than anybody in the whole world will ever love that child, and you find the behavior obnoxious, just think how it will be received in the world at large. So we have to do something that stops a child from going on to round 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We need a strategy. A child asks a question. We're going to call that round 1. Can I please go to the mall with my friends? Asks 9-year-old Jenny. Well, maybe mom doesn't want her to go to the mall. Maybe she feels she's just a bit too young to go just with a group of friends. So she answers on round 1, no, I don't think so, sweetheart. It is advisable to give a child one brief reason, if you happen to have a reason. Don't feel, however, that you always have to have a reason. Sometimes the reason that a parent doesn't want a child to do something or have something is that the parent doesn't feel right about it. The parent doesn't feel comfortable about it. The parent has a gut feeling, as a parent, that it's not a good idea. And you can rely on those gut feelings and intuitions and discomforts to say no to your child. Lots of times people have had gut feelings that they ignored because they couldn't give the child a reasonable or satisfactory answer and said yes when they really felt no. And then later on, they decided, wow, I really should have listened to my intuition. I knew something was wrong with that activity when, you know, heaven forbid, something actually wrong does happen. You don't want to be in that position. If you don't want your children to argue with you, however, you cannot always be relying on negative gut instincts. Let's say that you're an anxious parent and everything scares you. You're worried about the child going to the mall. You're worried about the child being out with certain friends. You're worried about the child eating certain foods or going, you know, to do regular activities that other kids are doing, skating or skiing or whatever it is. You're always worrying. And your gut feelings end up causing you to say no, 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 and no. If you are a frequent naysayer, you're going to get plenty of arguments or plenty of lies or both. If you normally say no to a child's request, if that's always your first answer, then the child is going to learn to be a strong arguer, a strong debater. They have to wear you down. They have to get you to change your mind. And that will be the game that you'll be playing with them, exhausting as that is. We want to be a yes person when it comes to our children as often as possible. Yes causes us to be more likable and causes them to be happier with us. And it causes them to see us as more reasonable. When we're usually yes and then we have to say no, our no is going to be in contrast to that yes. And by definition, it will seem reasonable to the child. Well, my mom hardly ever says no. If she's saying no now, it must be important. Or she must have a good reason. Or it must be right. Because usually, she says yes. So if the child, you know, sees that really most of the time you try to make the kid happy, and you're an agreeable, yes-minded person, then there will be less tendency to argue when you do have to come up with the occasional no. Now, keeping that in mind, let's go back to our little conversation. Can I go to the mall with my friends? And this parent says no. She says no, I don't feel comfortable with that. Remember, when you're having one of these gut feeling occasions, I just don't feel right about that. I don't feel comfortable about it. I don't think so, sweetie. So, now, most of the time, you'll have an answer that's even better than that. Like when the child says, could I please have a cookie? And you'll say, no, honey, it's too close to dinner time. Or, no, you've had too many sweets lately. Usually, you'll be able to give a very rational answer. But the very rational answer is really no better than your irrational answer if the child doesn't like it, because the child will try to wear you down with whatever answer you give. Why? Why not? It's not too close to dinner. There's another half hour to dinner. Or I promise I'll eat my whole dinner anyways. Or I haven't had too many sweets lately. And, you know, into the details of what you mean by too many and what he means by too many and so on. See, the answer that you give, really, the reason, rather, that you give for your answer is almost irrelevant. It's, as Rabbi Hirsch said about this, it's a courtesy to the child to give a reason, just to show him that you do think about things. And if your reason is one of those intuitive ones, then you're showing the child that you do feel about things. You consider things, okay? You think and you feel. There's something that's making you tick. And as a parent, you're trying to do the best for your child all the time. And the child's going to know that by all of the things that you do for him or her. So anyways, the child doesn't like your answer that he can't go to the mall or she can't go to the mall, so that you said no on round one. So the child begins round two, which is some sort of whining thing, probably, sounding like, oh, please, everybody else is going. Everybody's going. Everybody else's mother's letting them go. You're the only one. Please. Something like that, which, you know, even in the tone of it starts to be rather obnoxious. And you're on round two because the answer you give now is your second answer, and in the I don't argue with you rule, it is also your last answer. So on this second round, you want to think very carefully so that this answer is one that you can live with and that your child will have to live with. If this was round two and you said no again, Noah, you know what, I've thought about it and I really am not comfortable with it. I'm sorry, you cannot go. And then the child, you know, starts round three. And on round three, the child gets louder, more dramatic, more intense, maybe moved to tears or whatever drama the child feels she has to do in order to get you to change your mind. And, you know, if on round three you're still talking and you're saying, no, I really don't think so, and the child will go to round four, coming up with something that you hadn't thought of. The child says something brilliant on round four, comes up with some idea about, well, what if I call you when I get there, and I call you every 5 minutes when I'm there? Would that be okay? You know, some kind of scheme that you hadn't thought of. And that's really not a bad idea. But the kid is suggesting this on round four, or maybe round eight. You don't want to be changing your mind on round four or round eight, or heaven forbid, on round 12 or on round 20, because if the child has a brilliant idea that nobody thought of by round two, what you're really teaching the child to do is persevere and persevere and persevere, which translates to argue and debate and argue and debate and argue and debate. If at the end of all of that, the parent changes her mind simply because she can't take it anymore. Okay, it's not necessarily that the child had a brilliant idea, it's just that the parent is exhausted. Or, you know, what happens then is the parent sometimes throws her arms up in disgust, you know, like, fine, okay, just do it already, fine, call me every 5 minutes, just go, okay? And the look on the parent's face really says it all. It says, you know, fine, do what you want, but I can't stand you. And I can't stand this process. And while it doesn't mean that the parent actually hates the child's guts, children are very sensitive to the looks that their parents give. A parent's disgusted look really probably means, you know, I'm just tired of this conversation. I have had enough of it. Okay? That's probably all it means. But what it looks like to the child is, you make me sick. I can't stand talking to you. I don't like you. And that is very, very harmful. It's not very, very harmful if the child doesn't go to the mall. It is very, very harmful if the parent is disgusted and the child sees that. So it's better for the child to get a no answer on round two, and that's the end of the conversation, and the no answer leaves the child feeling disappointed or frustrated or irritated, but that's all better than having a yes answer on round 22 where the parent is looking disgusted. Okay, because it's not important to this child's life for her to go to the mall at that particular point in time, particularly if the parent is a yes parent. If the parent is someone who is reasonable and fair and kind and loving, if the parent is somebody who is generally following the 80-20 rule or the 90-10 rule with kids, meaning that the parent is positive and good-feeling 80% of all the conversations that go on there, or 90% if it's a teenager, you know, if that's going on, it's okay for the child not to go to the mall or not to get a cookie or not to stay up late or not to go to the party or whatever little frustration or disappointment is going on. Now let's look a little more closely at the mechanics of this I don't argue with you rule. It goes like this. There's a round one and a round two. The parent does not participate on round three. Round one, the child makes a request. The parent answers it, yes or no. If the parent answers yes, that's the end of the conversation and everybody's happy. If the parent answered no, the child is not happy. Now, if the child has a major tantrum right then, when she got her first no answer, then that will be the end of the conversation as far as the parent is concerned. Because we don't want the parent changing her mind because the child is having a fit. And we don't want the parent changing her mind even if it looks like it, the reason was because the child is having a fit. Because if that would teach the child that having a fit is the way to get a parent to change her mind. In other words, we're going to be teaching a child to be truly horrible, to use drama in the worst way to influence another person. That is not a good communication or interpersonal tool that we want the child to have. So if the child right away throws herself down and starts screaming and crying or slamming doors or yelling, it is not going to be possible for the parent to change her mind at all, even if she regrets her original no. But let's say things went a little better than that, and the child did not have a major fit. The child just wasn't too happy about the no answer, and so came in with round two, saying, please, please, I promise, whatever, the moon, the stars, please, please, everybody else is doing it, you're the only one who's not letting me, please, please, whatever. On round two, this is the last time the parent can change her mind. Okay? There's no more conversations after round two for the parent. So the parent needs to slow things down a bit here. She can say, let me think about that for a minute. Let me just reevaluate what I said. Give me a moment. And if the issue that's being asked about is a really big issue, something that's going to happen in a few days or next month or next year or something, it's totally fine for the parent to say, give me a few days to think about it. I'll let you know, later. I want to discuss it with some people. I want to mull it over in my mind. I want to work on it a bit, and then I'll get back to you. But anyways, most of these little conversations could be, very rapid. So the parent just pauses for a minute and says, let me think about that again. And then comes up with a yes or a no. So the parent can change her mind on round two, as long as the child was not hysterical after round one. This is the only place that the parent can change her mind. And the parent might change her mind for a variety of reasons. Maybe she decided, I was too hasty saying no. It's okay, let the kid do what she wants. Or maybe the parent is changing her mind because she just doesn't have the energy to put up with the child's emotions right then. She knows that if she says no right now, the child's going to be miserable, the night's going to be ruined, and the parent just isn't up for that. That's a totally valid reason to change her mind, as long as the issue is small. It's not going to be life-threatening or anything going on like that. So she could do that too. Now, when the parent doesn't change her mind, the child is going to be unhappy. This is the wrong answer from the child's point of view. So when the parent says, well, let me think about that. I really don't want you to go there or have it or do it or whatever. I'm afraid not, sweetie. And the parent could give a little emotional coaching with that just to soften the blow. The parent could say, I know you really want to. I know it's very frustrating and disappointing, and you'll probably be upset with me, but I have to reiterate my answer. I cannot let you go there, do that, have it, or whatever. Now, the parent needs to add a little line here in order to help make sure that this is the end of the conversation. And the magic line is, and that's the end of the conversation. Okay, this is an announcement. So the parent gives a little emotional coaching that is a little supportive to the child, names her feelings. The parent reiterates the answer, no. And then the parent says, and that's the end of the conversation. Well, it is for the parent, but the child, who's not yet trained, goes on to round three. And starts making, more logical arguments or more debates or more accusations or more drama or whatever would fit the occasion here. And the parent must refrain from saying something like, I told you before, that's the end of the conversation. I'm not discussing it anymore. No, I'm not discussing it anymore. if the parent keeps talking on round 4, 5, 6, then the parent is still involved in an argument, and the parent is at risk for turning around on line, you know, round 8, 9, or 10 and screaming at the child, "I told you I'm not talking about it anymore." Okay, and that's what we want to avoid. We don't want the parent getting upset or angry. You know, in this, using the anti-arguing rule, we're trying to create a situation in which there is more peace in the home, not less of it. So what we're trying to do here is have the parent not be involved anymore after round 2. When the parent gives the magic words, and that's the end of the conversation, then that really has to be the end of the conversation as far as the parent goes. And the child now can be, you know, arguing basically to herself, "But please, but you never, you're so mean, I hate you, nobody ever does, whatever, blah, 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 blah." And the parent hopefully gets on the phone, starts talking to somebody else, opens a book, starts to read it, goes upstairs, goes downstairs to do the laundry, just, you know, ignores the child completely. And the reason the parent can do that is because this parent is a loving and reasonable person. You cannot get away with such a technique if you are normally a cold and rejecting and naysaying person. You will actually be harming the child, harming the relationship. It will be disastrous. But if you're otherwise pleasant, when you have to say no, go ahead and say no. It is your parental right, your privilege, and your obligation. By you saying no and having your child live with it, you can help your child to become a more flexible person, able to back down, to walk away from a conversation without feeling like the whole world has collapsed, like, okay, I didn't get my way this time. So it's important for you to persevere with this technique, and after about a month of it, your child will actually realize that you mean what you say on round 2. When you say, "And that's the end of the conversation," your child will actually stop talking and realize, "Yep, that's the end of the conversation." And that will be a happy day in your house.